Welcome back. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana to our very first story. News of takeover of two indigenous banks, UT and Capital Bank, by the Ghana Commercial Bank has come as a shock to many Ghanaians. The central bank earlier this morning announced that it had revoked the licenses of the UT and Capital Banks to operate as commercial banks due to their excessive liabilities and failure to improve their balance sheet. Staff of the two banks this morning got to work with their feet in the balance, whereas panicking customers besieged various branches of the two banks in an attempt to secure their assets. The Bank of Ghana, in a news conference today, assured customers of these banks that their monies are safe and there is therefore no cause for panic for depositors. Tonight, Behind the News, we'll try to know what the development means for the customer, employees, and the banking industry, and what exactly could have led to the fate of these two banks. Joining us on the line is the Director of Communications of the Bank of Ghana, Bernard Otabal. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening, and let me take this opportunity also to greet your listeners.
Well, the Bank of Ghana, in a news conference, assured customers that the deposits are safe despite the takeover by these banks, by the commercial banks. Why should they believe this when they had not been given any prior notice of the takeover?
Well, good evening once again. Yes, the most important recognition here is the fact that customer deposits are safe and that there is no need for any customer to worry. Now, if you look at the two statements that have come out so far, the press statement that came out in the morning and also the news conference that was chaired by the governor mid-morning, it was quite emphatic that indeed the reason why the central bank felt the need to go in at this point in time is actually based on the fact that these two institutions are becoming solvent. Now, when you describe an institution like a financial institution as insolvent, the bottom line or what one has to really recognize is the fact that if a company is running more liabilities than assets, it means that it hasn't got enough asset cover to make due its obligations to its customers. And therefore, when obligations fall due, the company is likely to struggle to fulfill that particular obligation. Now, it's not the case that this happened all of a sudden, and therefore it came as a surprise to the central bank. No. By the prudential controls and by the level of engagement that the central bank has with these institutions, it's always been on the table, it's always been on the cards that financial institutions, whatever they report on, whatever the operational situation is, whatever they do is very much known to the central bank for the simple reason that they are expected to file certain returns for the central bank. And therefore, if you look at the release and you read it carefully, the point were well listed in terms of the fact that Capital Bank and UT Bank have been engaged by the bank on a number of occasions, and on each occasion, the whole idea has been how do we get them to be right tuned up in terms of restoring the capital inadequacies or the capital impairments that the institutions have experienced. So that is really what brought us to this point. And the bottom line really is the decision is to protect customers' deposits, given the way these institutions were running, and also to protect the sanctity of the financial system.
Well, are we getting the impression that the state may have to incur some costs because these banks would have given out loans to people? And per your statement, the two banks automatically would become part of the GCB. Who bears the cost?
I don't know the connection between the state, GCB, the cost, and the loans. Now, the most important point that is got to be understood here is that the transaction arrangement as the first opening paragraph of the press statement made clear is the fact that this is a purchase and assumption deal, which means that GCB is actually taken as a healthy bank, is taking over these unhealthy institutions, and therefore will be assuming some of it, the assets and the liabilities of these institutions. And also, it is very clear that receivers have been appointed in order to handle the other assets of the company. So the transaction is actually handled within the ambit of the technically stipulated processes that must be followed in a situation of this particular nature.
Per the operations of the banks, when you take savings account operations, for instance, those of Capital Bank and UT Bank were quite favorable compared to the Ghana Commercial Bank. So are customers still going to benefit per the arrangement they had with these banks?
I don't quite get the operations of the savings account. What exactly are you talking about?
When you put some your money in a savings account at UT or Capital Bank, the interest you earn over a period, say 6 months, is quite favorable or was quite favorable compared to that of the Ghana Commercial Bank.
You see, all the financial institutions have different financial products that they do offer. I cannot directly comment on the issue to do with the favorableness of a particular account at this point in time because I'm not privy to the information that you are actually alluding to. But what needs to be established right from the onset is the fact that since these two institutions have become insolvent and GCB Bank is taking over these institutions, it means that going forward, as the statement made it clear, these institutions will be handled under the umbrella of Ghana Commercial Bank. And that even went further to touch on the relationship between the banks and the staff, that in the interim, the staff of UC Bank and Capital Bank will be handling the operations, and that any further negotiations with staff will be done by GCB. So the arrangements are very clear. At this point in time, what we expect to have a very seamless transfer of assets, liabilities, and to ensure that the customers continue to enjoy a very safe and efficient banking service.
Well, but describing this as insolvent, and you from the banking industry keep telling us that the unbanked in the system still constitute a larger chunk of the population, so we need to get more people. We have about 33 banks in the country, if I'm right. So wouldn't it have been prudent for the central bank to, I mean, get into these issues and maybe save them by preventing us from getting to this stage?
Well, the issue is that, as I said earlier, it's not a sudden decision, and it's not a decision that is made on the spur of the moment. This is a decision that has been taken after all other considerations have been given.
Okay.
Now, having stated that, let me just give a bit of education on that. Sometime in 2015, the bank started an exercise called the Asset Quality Review, the AQR. This exercise was actually concluded in 2016. And what really happened during this period was the fact that because the AQR was actually tested, the asset quality of these banks, it came out that some of the assets that has been classified as actually good in the books of the banks were not actually the same value as you would realize if those assets should be disposed of today. And therefore, they actually were subjected to a higher degree of impairment. Now, when you have a situation of capital impairment, all that it means is that you've gotten yourself into that state where the book value of the asset that you have rather stated in your books did not actually reflect the realized values of those assets, and therefore there has to be some level of provisioning. Now, the exercise actually brought to the fore the fact that some financial institutions, that is the banks that are regulated by the central bank, needed to undertake some level of investment in order to restore the capital shortfalls. And UT Bank and Capital Bank were one of the such institutions that had that sort of capital impairment situation. And when that sort of situation happens, what normally takes place is that you are given a period of time for you to have a capital restoration plan for which you must be able to bring up your capital to a certain level. 180 days when the situation is not that severe, and when it is seriously, you know, impaired severely, then you would have the 5-10%, that is the 90 days and the 180 days, the 5% and the 10% is the 180 days in that regard. Now, when you get to the state where your liabilities have reached a certain proportion in comparative terms to your assets, then that is the case of insolvency. And with that level of insolvency, what it then calls for is that situation where we then have to find a way to have an exit strategy that will be very seamless and that will not bring up any further problems for the financial market. Realizing the fact that there are all kinds of financial linkages and you will try as much as possible to control the what we call the contagion effect so that the situation of one particular bank does not roll over into the other assets within the financial sector and create much more rippling problems for them.
So were shareholders of these two banks, I mean UT and Capital Banks, consulted before the Bank of Ghana decision?
Well, if you look at the balance sheet of a financial institution and you look at the right side where you have your customer deposits and the shareholder funds, and then you also look at the bank's own funds, the cash reserve, the bond reverse and other illiquid assets and so on and so forth. This is the sort of situation that you've been looking at in terms of balancing the books of a financial institution, and that is the balance sheet that you'll be looking at. Shareholder funds, in any situation that you look at it, if you look at equity shareholders, for example, they are the owners of the business, and therefore the assumption would always be the fact that shareholders should have known the financial, or should know the financial situation of an institution at any given point in time. And therefore, if indeed the situation that I've reported to you, you really appreciate what I've described to you, you then realize that the shareholders should be privy to the kind of precarious situation that the financial institutions should be involved in. So whichever action that is taken by the central bank at any given point in time shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who is a shareholder of the institution.
Okay. I'm sure somebody's action or inaction would have led to the state of these two banks before they take over, the board of directors and so on. What becomes of them?
Every situation involves the actors, economic agents, perpetrators, and so on and so forth. So, yes, companies do not move on their own. They move by what we call the agency relationship, which is the case that you have shareholders.
Hello?
Agency relationship. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, so that sort of agency relationship is where the shareholders, as owners of the business, will give the board of directors.
Hello. Hello, Bernard.
So, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, the line was breaking, but it's better now.
Yes. It's all to do with the network.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm saying is that in every corporate governance structure, you have the agency relationship. That is the relationship that involves the shareholders as owners, giving the board of directors the right to set the vision and the direction of the business, and the management to do the day-to-day operations of the organization. And then at the shop floor level, would you have the employees? Now, because of the fact that this relationship exists, and you would expect in every seriously organized governance structure that there will be full disclosure of information at all levels of this relationship, all those involved in the chain should be fully aware of what the situation is and what would have transpired at any given point.
So is the Bank of Ghana going to take punitive action against such?
The governor has made it very clear that going forward, the next steps would actually involve the thorough investigation of the activities of these two banks, and that when it is found that something untoward, happened in the course of these banks doing business, then the directors, key senior managers, and all those who need to be brought to book will duly be brought to book. That's for sure. And he has assured, the general public, he's assured all of us, today at his press conference.
What becomes of the workers, their fate?
The press statement was quite emphatic on what happens. And as I've stated earlier, in the interim, these workers become the staff of Ghana Commercial Bank. And going forward, any of the contract negotiations will have to be done with the bank, with the Ghana Commercial Bank.
This action by the Ghana Commercial Bank has led many wondering, those who are working or saving with other private banks, their fate in the future. How secure are they?
I think that, as you rightly mentioned, with the 32 banks that we have in the economy, apart from NIB and a few banks that the government will have shares in it, all of them are private banks. And therefore, if we take it the case that we're looking at the private banks as entities that are not really fit to do business with, then of course, you are now saying that we can't do business with any bank in Ghana. Now, the bottom line, what needs to be established right here and now is the fact that the banking sector is strong, the banking sector is robust, and the banking sector is foolproof from the kind of issues that one or two companies will be having.
Okay.
So yes, you would have a situation whereby you have a very strong and robust banking sector, but you do have really up to it, and that's exactly what has happened. It doesn't really represent the average performance of the industry.
Right. So moving forward, for many customers of the Ghana Commercial Bank, services there cannot be that satisfactory. And so one will be wondering if that was the best bank to take over in terms of service provision for customers. Have you looked at that?
We cannot adjudge, I cannot adduce any sort of ranking in terms of customer satisfaction or customer loyalty or customer service delivery in the banking sector. What is very clear is that other banks had the assets to other banks.
Okay.
But Ghana Commercial Bank came up first because of what everything they were offering. So it's not only the case if we should look at the service delivery or discount that based on what you have stated and take your word as given. The consideration in terms of getting them involved wouldn't only just involve that. And the press statement was very clear in emphasizing that in selecting Ghana Commercial Bank, the purchase price was a consideration, the kind of cost of funds that they are going to actually put into it, the overall effect of such an acquisition on the capital adequacy ratio of the bank itself, and then also the kind of plans we have going forward in terms of staff and other employee engagement. So the whole thing is a composite approach to ensuring that you have the right institution that is handling the affairs of the organization, and therefore you give the right decision in that regard.
I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you very much.
Bernard Otable is the Director of Communications of the Bank of Ghana. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. We also have on the line Austin Game. He is a labor and alternative dispute resolution expert. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News. Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well, sir. Thanks for your time. Is there any breach of contract in terms of labor relations with employers in this case? I mean, the takeover by the GCB of these two banks.
Thank you. Well, in the true sense of labor relations, there is nothing to, you know, worry about per se. I say per se because the information provided by Bank of Ghana is, for the meantime, adequate to protect the interests of the workers, of course, all other people, including customers, and so forth and so on. So what needs to be done is about borrowers for them.
But we have seen these things in the past. Workers have been assured in the past that your contract or your services will not be terminated, but it didn't go as such. So how can we trust him this time around? Hello, sir. If you can reposition yourself, your line is breaking.
Yes, can you hear me?
No, not
can you hear me?
Yes, a bit better.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, the raw information provided by DOG suggests that nothing untoward will happen to them. But let me hasten to say it's important for all working people to understand by both law and practice that from day one when you are engaged in any undertaking across the world, and in Ghana is no exception, you must know that the possibility of legal severance of relationship between you and employer can happen at any point in time should there be anything that would jeopardize the future of those who put their money in the business and customers who patronize that organization. Of course, the workers are themselves also, you know, first customers of the company. So in this, what I would like to say is that come on board, it shouldn't surprise anybody. Because the one, when you enter any undertaking, you must know that the possibility of any form of deterrence can happen.
So the Bank of Ghana talked of the interim. There will be renegotiation of their contract. But how fair can that be?
Well, maybe before I talk about anything for otherwise, I think it's imperative.
Hello? Hello, sir? It's Behind the News, your life on Radio Ghana. Sorry, the line is very bad. Keep your messages coming on 0266-026-941.
Hello, my name is Nana Kunedu Ajiman Rawlings, and you are listening to Behind the News on Radio Ghana. The program is on at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. from Monday to Friday. Join the crew for the best news analysis on radio. Thank you.
Welcome back. Hello, sir. Hello.
Yes,
the line is not helping us. Well, you were making a point. Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear
me. No, the line is very bad. If you can still reposition. No.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Back one.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. Point out. The next law is very, very clear and adequate.
Hello. We'll try and call you back. The line is very bad. Austin Gama is labor alternative dispute resolution expert. We have also on the line lawyer Yao Pon. He is a private legal practitioner and a lecturer, a law lecturer, Central University. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Register and pay your TV license fee anywhere, anytime. You can still pay your TV license fee at all GBC regional and district offices nationwide. There's also a standby TV license mobile collection team for corporate institutions and religious organizations. You can also pay your TV license at any of the Ghana Tourism Federation and Ghana Hotels Association regional offices nationwide. For inquiries, call 056-1100-800 or 056-1100-900.
Welcome back. Our lines are not helping us today. We have back on the line Austin Kameh. Good evening and welcome back.
Good evening.
Yes, you were explaining the point about the terms of the renegotiation, how fair it could be.
Yes. I expect it to be fair, but I think that it's important to establish the fact that our Labour Act is very, very clear. We lifted Article 36, 11, indeed 10 to 11, from the Constitution of Ghana and ensure that we flow it into the Labour Act, Section 97, to strengthen the hands of employers and unions and workers in general, so that ensuring of relevant information, a key area of the Labour Act, if we're doing these things as expected of us, information flow would have been clearer to each and every one in the organizations we are mentioning now, that they should know that they are running into problems. Unfortunately, it does appear as if negotiation about conditions of service, whether it's in a form of condition, this is where they have come to. It may not be entirely the fault of the workers. The management people themselves are workers. All of them are workers. Now this is where they've come to. If they have to negotiate, what is left, they have to consider, of course, the shareholders and the customers who deposit their money there before they will come to what you want to describe as fairness.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on Behind the News tonight. Thank Austin you. Gama is an alternative dispute resolution expert. We have on the line lawyer Yao Opon. He's a law lecturer at Central University here in Accra. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Sir, I believe we all have rights of choice when it comes to doing business. And so customers have decided to do business with, say, UT Bank and Capital Bank and not Ghana Commercial Bank. They have been forced to go and do business with Ghana Commercial Bank. Are there legal remedies that such can take?
Well, good evening. Well, I must say that whatever has gone on in the scenario you have described does not really conform to the general or conventional understanding of what people call a takeover. In my view, the precondition for a takeover have not been fulfilled. In this case, when you read the Bank of Ghana's press release or such a statement attributable to them, it appears that there is what is called purchase and assumption of the shares of and sometimes assets of these two companies as bank, because the Bank of Ghana, from that statement, if I understand it correctly, has suspended or cancelled their authorization to engage in banking business. So that leaves a big question as to, even before considering the fate of customers, what about the fate of shareholders? Because when people hold their shares in their house and their homes, and they are being told that another company has purchased and assumed the assets and performance of the objects of that company, it becomes a bit difficult to understand exactly what the situation is. Then you talk about even the customers. Yes, the customers have a contract as individuals with these two individual companies or banking institutions. And then they wake up, and I'm sure we didn't hear a lot or sufficient, we didn't have sufficient as to this happening. I woke up this morning to hear that, or perhaps because I'm not a customer. But it appears that this thing has been done, or appears to have been done, without the particular knowledge to the customers, and as some have revealed, the shareholders. So we are yet to know exactly what has happened, what the implications are. And I'm sure as time goes on, a bit more information will come out, especially where the shareholders and the customers demand for more information.
So that surprise element, where does it lie within our laws?
Well, I think that especially UT being a public company, the procedures for either taking over or acquiring major part of the assets are well laid down. The Securities and Exchange Commission will come in. So far, we are not sure whether that has been done. I doubt it has been done. And therefore, if it was due to inadvertence or some other variation in terms of policy, the custom that is applicable to the banking business, or a mistake, I'm sure that with the days ahead, we will get a clarity to it. Otherwise, what has happened is a mere cancellation of the licenses of these companies, and therefore the shares are intact. The shares have not been taken over by any company. They will have to clarify exactly what it is. Because if I were a shareholder and I hear that somebody else has acquired my assets, and where we are also being told that the acquirer is shareholders, haven't also given issued a resolution or given their consent, if these are true, and how will my money as a shareholder be used to acquire, quote and unquote, a distressed company when I haven't given approval. Because my, I must give approval to how my money and for what my money is used. And without that, if these things come out clearly, I think that either some, there was some error, inadvertent, or sheer violation of the rules to satisfy an exigency.
So, will there be legal basis for any litigant who is a customer of the defunct banks to take against those banks, the financial impaired ones, I mean UT and Capital?
Well, the point is, yes, they have contracts with them. And that contract, one, is that I will deposit my money with you. That contract also puts these banks in what we call a fiduciary position. They are trustees of my money. And when a trustee is investing my money or dealing with my money or the assets, I, as a beneficiary, generally speaking, must be informed. Even though the trustee has general powers to deal with the property, he is required to also apply the common principles of transparency and also giving information to the beneficiary as to how the beneficiary's assets are being invested or dealt with by the trustee. And if they have not been informed, they have a right in law, and that right can be vindicated in a court of law or at the appropriate institutional framework that is provided by law.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir. Lawyer Yao Pon is a lecturer, a law lecturer at Central University, and also a private legal practitioner. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana and moving on to other stories. It emerged as the Unemployed Graduate Association of Ghana with the aim of seeking to be employed. After being in existence for some years, the association wants to be called and addressed by its new name, the Association of Graduates in Skills Development Ghana, with immediate effect. With the increasing rate of youth unemployment, the association, in partnership with the National Youth Authority, is seeking to bring hope to the many unemployed youth in the country by identifying, creating and shaping talent for a better tomorrow. So what has necessitated a sudden change of focus? We have on the line the Vice President of the Association of Graduates in Skills Development Ghana, David Asante Kwetia. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News. National Disability Organizations say its members are ready to hit the streets because of the delay in the release of the Common Fund. They argue that the delay is affecting them adversely, adding that their members who depend on the fund for their education are uncertain of their fate as tertiary schools resume this month. So what exactly are their concerns? We have on the line Yao Ofori Deborah. He is the president of the Ghana Federation of Disability Organizations. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, just good evening.
What exactly are your concerns, the concerns of your members?
Yes, George, the common fund, you have, we have 3% of the common fund reserved to reserved for persons with disability. And we understand that the last quarter of last year has been paid to the various districts, but our share of it has not been paid. And we understand also that it has been paid for about 3 months now. Now, many of our students are actually on this facility. Many of them who have gained admissions and those who are the continuing students who are going to pay their user fees all hinge their hope on this release. But we understand that the fund is being held on by the Common Fund Administrator for no reason enunciated or explained now. So we are saying that we are appealing to the government to immediately intervene so that we avoid a situation where persons with disability will go to the streets to demonstrate. There is no need for this at all because the Ministry of Finance has released the money and it is only the Common Fund Administrator that is holding on with the money for reasons she has not yet given to the beneficiary community.
Are,
so this is our problem.
Are you talking of the last quarter of last year or first quarter of this year?
Yes, because we know that the releases have not been made for 2017, not to our knowledge, but we are very much certain that the last quarter of last year has been released by the Ministry of Finance. The various district assemblies and municipal assemblies have had theirs long time ago, but our share, which should be part of the money that went to the assemblies, are still being kept by the Common Fund Administrator. We are hearing rumors that they want to change the form of disbursement, but they cannot do this without actually reference to the beneficiary community. No engagement has been made with the stakeholders. So at least, even if they want to do any modification of the disbursement, they should allow the last quarter to be disbursed so that students who are looking up to it will have it. As of now, universities have opened, some have gained admissions, and they have not had money to register. The continuing students are also looking up to it for them to be registered so that they get the accommodation and everything. They are now at home, very desperate.
Mr. Deborah, if you can give us a bit education, what's the status quo in terms of disbursement of the fund?
Usually, when Minister of Finance allocates the money, then the Common Fund Administrator will transfer the money to the various district, municipal, and metro assemblies. Then ours is kept in a separate account, so that it doesn't go with the main quantum that goes to the assembly. Ours is kept because previously many of these assemblies were not being true to the disbursement of the PWD share of the Common Fund. So it has been separated from the main money that goes to the assembly. So we expect that after they have sent the assemblies one, then they follow up with the dispatch of our share of the Common Fund to our separate account. But this is what has not been done by Honorable Natos.
So what has been the intervention of the umbrella organization, the GFD?
So far, we have been to the office of the Common Fund Administrator twice. We have not met them. Now, the staff that we met are saying that it is only the minister, the Common Fund Administrator, who can actually authorize or say something about it. For them, unless she instructs them, they cannot do anything about it. We went to the Ministry of Finance. The budget analysts have told us that they have finished with their part. They have dispatched the money to the Common Fund Administrator, who should transfer to the district and they have defaulted.
So what becomes of the people who are intending to hit the streets?
Well, we have actually restrained them since the money has been released from Ministry of Finance. So we are urging the Common Fund Administrator to also do her part by just sending the money to the various districts to avoid this unneeded demonstration that those who are disgruntled by the situation wants to embark upon.
All right. Mr. Deborah Warren, thank you very much for your time on the program. Very grateful, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Ofori Deborah is the president of the Ghana Federation of Disability Organization. Natoshi Ado, the administrator of the District Assembly's Common Fund. We tried to get her to comment on this story, but we've been unsuccessful at that. So we move on to other stories, and back to the Unemployed Graduate Association of Ghana, now known as Youths with Graduate in Skills Development Ghana. We have on the line Emmanuel Asigiri. He is the chief executive of the National Youth Authority. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity.
Well, the Unemployed Graduate Association of Ghana say now they are no longer by that, but they are Association of Graduates in Skills Development Ghana, and they are that in partnership with the National Youth Authority. Exactly what is this partnership about?
Well, thank you very much again. This partnership came up after my administration decided to engage the then Unemployed Graduates Association to see what we could do to change that negative charge in terms of identity, partnering into developing the youth who constitute that the membership of that association, that defunct association. And then we realized that even before we could get this done, we were engaged so many positive things. They made us aware of the activities that we were involved in. And then we were quite happy that the things that we are looking at in terms of our new mandate, they found themselves in areas with regards to that. So it was quite a refreshing moment to engage them. And it was not difficult at all to come up with something to do together. And so they have indicated that there's a partnership with the National Youth Authority that is accurate. What we are looking at is to see how we can prepare young graduates who have come out of the university. You would have realized that in most cases when these young graduates make attempts to even go for jobs, beyond the interviews or prior to the interviews, most of these areas employment agencies who look for young graduates to employ usually come up with the provision for working experience and that kind of a thing. So we realized that sort of the activities they engaged in, we could partner them and then help build an innovation hub of a sort where we will prepare young people for the job market. In the sense that we prepare them because coming out of school, it is a different thing with whatever training you would have gone through. It's a different thing going into the job market. And most of the time, young people go into these areas without the requisite experience, and it becomes difficult for them to settle in.
And
nobody would want to engage someone who would want to come in and prepare or get himself off the room, whereas you are expected to deliver. So what we have decided to do with unemployed graduates, graduates in skills development is that we want to develop our young people so that they will be ready for the job market. Beyond that, we as an authority this time around have decided that we want to put practical things in place in terms of our activity. We are giving young graduates the opportunity to set up their own enterprises. So we are projecting entrepreneurship seriously within the National Youth Authority's activities in Cameroon. And the associations have indicated that they are very much interested in that area and have also indicated they want to go into farming, which is one of our core areas that we're looking at. As I speak, we've already made some arrangements to get young people into farming, but we are targeting irrigation. We, at National Youth Authority, have decided that we don't want to get ourselves involved in risk-based farming, because sometimes if you don't get it right, it disappoints, it creates problems. So we want to do ours under irrigation, where we won't have a situation where rain coming in and our crops are dying. So we have already mapped out what type of crops, the area that we are going to be doing this, and we are looking at between the south and north. And I can indicate that up north, we are looking at a place in the northern region called Kukubila. And this is already an area or a farm that is run by a professional agriculturist. And again, we are looking at the south where we have some young folks who are already engaged in some of these things. So we are moving into a serious partnership with these young graduates who have decided to keep themselves a new focus in terms of what their ideology is all about.
So how many are they?
As for their numbers, from what they have given me, their numbers span into hundreds of thousands.
And so if you are going to assess...
Tens of thousands. This association has been in place for quite a long time.
Yes. So if you are going to...
Myself and you would have been very much aware of their activities. where it was more of agitating and then, you know, bringing their issues to the limelight in terms of graduates who had completed or have completed school.
Right, so those who want to go into their own businesses, what kind of support in terms of seed capital are you going to give them? Hello? It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Some of your text messages. Good evening, George. We thank the Ghana Commercial Bank. Its decision to acquire the two banks is a good one. Opambo Justice in Kwapon sent in that one. So UT did not file its financial statement for 2015 and 2016. And the Ghana Stock Exchange is now telling the general public today in this press conference. I think it is not good for the capital market. I believe its quality of information that makes the stock market credible. Gideon Amedome sent in that from Tema. It is my prayer that this year Hajj will be successful. Long live Nanado, long live Ghana. And Zibo sent in that from Wenchi. Jake Ennis Aye in Kalio says the unemployment graduates of this beloved country Ghana should exercise patience, because President Akufo-Addo and the NPP government will solve the unemployment problem which John Mahama and the NDC left behind. Mustafa, secretary of NPP SMS group, says it is a step in the right direction taken by the Ghana Commercial Bank to acquire UT and Capital Banks. This is as a result of the mismanagement of the economy by the Mahama-led administration that has led to the collapse of these banks. People should stop bringing the name of the Operation Vanguard into dispute. Awusi Mankarigo, a member of NPP SMS group. Mashud Kukum Tamale, NPP SMS group president, says, George, looking at this government, you could see that there is hope and prosperity. Jobs will soon come into the system. So these young guys, men and women, should calm down. George, how can one be a graduate but claim he is unemployed? I can't get it. Achufuga in Tabora is saying that. Government should create jobs for the unemployed graduates. It is his responsibility. Napoleon in Tumu, Sankofa base, sent in that one. George, I don't doubt the credibility of His Excellency Nanado. I'm very sure the problem of unemployment will get a solution. It is just a matter of time. Dauda Ade in Tamale sent in that one. Good evening, George, for your wonderful work. Keep it up. From Mr. Atankama, TM, inside Boko, Misiga. Please, we the people of Golu are not getting Radio Upper West. Eliasu is saying so. Abdul Karim from Wenchi Zongo says, timely intervention from the Bank of Ghana to take over UT and Capital Banks to save its customers from losing their investment. Good evening, George. It is economically wrong for government to use taxpayers' money for a bailout of collapsed private banks whose managers live on fat salaries and extravagant lifestyles. Delanyo Agui in Pedriase sent in that one. Lamte King Rashid in Wenchi says, Ish, UT Bank and Capital Bank, why did you go bankrupt? Razak Gulung Kumbungu District, NPP SMS group organizer, says Ghana Commercial Bank should try its best to manage the customers of UT and Capital Bank very well, because they deserve to be treated well. Abdullahi Elias, Minister, Santani Tolon District, says I think the withdrawal of UT and Capital Bank's licenses will help others to be cautious of irregularities. May Allah grant President Akufo-Addo wisdom to deliver. And this one says, what about rural banks? You didn't add your name. I'm sure no rural bank has been affected. And this is what we have for tonight's edition of Behind the News. My producers have been Asibi Bangu Ikela, Seth Eya, John Pobi, Beland Elom Tete Nsuol, Nanama Ajikum. Hannah Owusu-Bempa was our sound technician, and I'm George Asikri. Till we meet again, God willing, same time tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of our programs.